good to see you this morning, Lord. Bless you and welcome into our service this morning. We'll start off by singing a chorus, then we'll sing a hymn before we open our prayer.
Thank you.
we open in prayer this morning. Our precious God, we do indeed thank you that there is power in the blood. Lord, we realise that that blood shall never, ever lose its power. We thank you, Lord, that it's just as effective today as it was when you first shed it. We thank you, Lord, that it still cleanses. And we thank you, Lord, that it seeks through and purges and cleanses very thoroughly. Lord, it leaves nothing undone. Lord, there's nothing can be added to once the blood goes through. There's nothing can be found. But Lord, your word says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not the blood of bulls and goats, but it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly shed that blood for us on our behalf. Lord, you took what was rightfully due to us upon your own body. You were the innocent who became the guilty, that the guilty could become the innocent, and that we could go free. And Lord, your word says that you tasted death for every man. Lord, we thank you this morning for Calvary. We thank you for your blood. And we thank you this morning also for the empty tomb. We thank you that you raised triumphant over death, hell and the grave, and that you are seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you ever live to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we're glad this morning to take your name. We're glad to be called Christians. Lord, there's no one else, Lord, we'd rather be identified with, Lord. There's no one else, Lord, who has done so much for us. And Lord, we're glad this morning to take this opportunity to come and gather in your precious name. And Lord, to call upon your name, Lord, to worship you and to give you thanks, for indeed you've done great things for us. We're all for glad. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the things perhaps we take for granted. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our family and friends. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, meeting our needs, Lord, and clothing us and feeding us. And Lord, we thank you most of all for enlightening our eyes to the truth of this glorious gospel. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that it is light indeed. We thank you that you have brought us out of darkness into light. And we thank you, Lord, that you took away our filthy garments and you washed us in your own precious blood. And to us has been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we're spotless because of the precious blood. Lord, we just pray this morning that you'll bless the speaker of your word. And Lord, we ask you also that you would bless the hearers of your word also. And help us, Lord, to not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it also. Help us, Lord, to take instruction from your word and guidance, Lord. And Lord, listen to when you would speak to us, Lord. Help us when we read. Lord, speak to us through your word. Help us when we pray to listen for your voice, Lord. And help us, Lord, even, Lord, when we're about doing our own things, Lord, to always pay attention for, Lord, you can call or speak at any time. And Lord, help us to be, Lord, willing recipients of your word. Help us, Lord, to hear the still small voice. And help, Lord, if any is needing a step of guidance this morning, Lord, or needing a touch from you, needing, Lord, some sort of direction from you, we pray, Lord God, that you'll undertake for that person. Help them, Lord, to make the right choices and the right decisions. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray now, Lord, that you'll bless this service for your own glory and receive unto yourself glory, honour and praise in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you, Lord, this morning once again, if there's any in our midst that's sick or any family members represented to us that are sick, we pray, Lord, indeed you'll touch them. I ask you once again from a mum, Lord, you'll continue to touch her. And Lord, take away this problem from her heart in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask you, Lord, if there's anyone else here this morning of loved ones or family members that's not well. Lord, you know the names of every single person. You know the fears that's in people's heart. We just pray, Lord, that you'll fill their hearts full of love and conviction power of the Holy Ghost. For your word says that perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, we're just glad this morning, Lord, that we have been, Lord, able to trust in you, Lord. We thank you for your grace that you come seeking us. And Lord, indeed you found us and you saved us and you've delivered us. And we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, just bless this service now for God's own glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Number 770 in the Redemption Hymn Book, if you'd like to turn to that. In these, the closing days of time. He's coming soon. Amen. 770.
In these,
going to sing one more chorus again before Brother Samuel comes, if he prepares to come. We'll sing that little chorus. I will put on the garments of praise. I will put on the garments of praise, for the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. I will put on the garments of praise. Bless each and every one today. I just want to hope by God's grace today that you get a bit of a blessing today from God's word, and that's my desire today. You know, we're a blessed people, aren't we, that we can come here and gather around the word of God. We're a blessed people today that we can come here and exalt the name of Jesus, and we've got a Savior, and we know that he's real, and we're not hoping on some myth or some fantasy or something that's not reality, but we're living today, and we know that this world is all in turmoil and everything's upside down, but we know that in God's word that there's hope, that there's something to cling to, and there's a one there in this word that we, you know, like the proverb said, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we know this morning that that friend is Jesus, and he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother all the time. Amen. Now this morning I'd just like for a moment just to bow before opening God's word. And I trust this morning that God will bless you and God will undertake for you this morning. Merciful God, we give you thanks this morning, Lord. We thank you this morning that we know that you are a good God and beside you there's no other. Lord, this morning we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come, Lord, this morning to exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, my goal this day is to uplift that name. My goal this day, Lord, that name of Jesus would be exalted. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your anointing power will come down this morning and move into every seat from seat to seat. Lord, I pray this morning that you will heal, save, and deliver for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we know, Lord, that you are the same, for your word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, this morning we proclaim that, we announce that. Lord, we say in the name of Jesus that you will bind, defeat, and destroy every work of the enemy. Lord, we come against every evil spirit and we bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that every religious spirit will be broken, that every spirit that would try to hinder would be cast down in Jesus' name. Lord,
morning that you will help someone to make a breakthrough, Lord. Heal, Lord, someone this day, Lord. Lord, deliver, Lord, a brother. Deliver a sister in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that I can step aside, Lord. I pray that every word of mine, Lord, means nothing, and I understand that. But Lord, I pray that all your words would be exalted this morning, that your word would sink into our hearts and into our minds and into our thoughts, Lord, that we could meditate upon your word, Lord, by day and by night. Lord, I pray that you will help someone this day, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful that we've got this word this morning, you know, and it's great. We are a real blessed people. You know, we've got John this morning here for the 36th Ulster Division. We're a blessed people, you know, because of what happened over 300 years ago. We know that we will be celebrating the Battle of the Boyne, and that was a great victory. It wasn't just, people talk about it and they think it's a bigoted thing, but it was a great victory. That day that the Church of Rome got quashed and put back, you know, that the people of God could freely worship. Because of that battle that took place, because of those events, I believe that God was on the side of King William. And that when he took over that battle at the Boyne and won the victory over that army of King James, and you know that God was behind it. You know, it was an act of God. God was behind it because, you know, if they had got their way, all free worship, all free praise would have been quashed and put down. We know that in 1641 that there was a rebellion broke out in these lands and people were put to death because of this word of God. People have died for years because of this word. Because they believed in this word and because they believed in the name of Jesus, they were put to death. How weak and how feeble are Christians are we today? You know, how dull sometimes we are to think that people laid down their lives for the name of Jesus. People laid down their lives for this Bible. And yet with all, you know, we can have it sitting in our house. We may look at it, we may not look at it. You know, our time can be taken up with everything. But to think that people died for this word, that we may have it. You know, in 1641, the Catholic Church said that it was no sin for to kill your Protestant neighbor. And they rose up against them and they drove them into the Bann River and they drove them into the river at Portadown. And they massacred Protestants in their hundreds and thousands. You know, and I believe that God then sent a man called Cromwell. And you know, if you read history, you know, if you hear history on TV, they'll make it out that Cromwell was some bad sort of a character and it was awful desperate what he'd done, but they'll never tell the full story. They'll never tell why Cromwell come, and I believe that God sent him to stop that rebellion. God sent him to cast that rebellion down, that we may be able to stand today and freely exalt and lift up this word of God. And we are not depending on some man. We're not bowing down the day to some earthly priest. But we have got a heavenly priest, and his name is King Jesus. Amen. And we're depending upon him. But you know, if they had got their way, you would have been counting rosary beads. You'd have been looking and praying to some fable god. You'd have been praying to Mary. You wouldn't have known how to go straight to God through the one and only intercessor, and his name is King Jesus. He's the only one that can get you a direct line to heaven all the time. And as I said before, he never has a bad reception. He never has bad internet connection. He doesn't never have a bad signal at any time, but his line is always open 24/7. And you know, some people say they do a 24/7 service, but if you try to ring them out of hours, you usually can't get them on the phone. But his 24/7 service, you can get him all the time, every time. Amen. You know what I've said this morning? We're a blessed people. And we're blessed because of these things. You know, some people maybe say these things and they think, you know, it's hatred or it's some bigoted thing. But I want you to realize this morning that it was a great day that God gave us sat deliverance. You imagine those people in 1641, maybe your neighbour, rose up against you and put you to death and thought he had done a great job. He thought he had done an act of God because the Pope gave him a decree to go and kill, his Protestant neighbour and put him to death. And he thought he had done a great service for God. But you know, thank God, God has always got a man. And God has always got someone that'll stand up for what is right. As I say, people laid down their lives for this word of God. Amen. And we're blessed this morning. So this morning my subject is, what are you hearing? What are you hearing? That's my subject this morning. You know, people today, they want to listen to a fairy tale. People today want an ear tickler. People today want somebody to tell them, you know, live whatever way you like, because God is love. And God will, it'll not matter what you do, you can live like the devil, and you will still be a great fella, and you'll be welcomed into the kingdom of God without any issue. As long as you put your wee bit of money in the wee box, say a few wee prayers, and do a few good wee deeds in the day, and you'll have it made. But the word of God says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. There's only one acceptable way into heaven, and that way is through the appointed taker away of sin. The appointed one that God appointed to be the one and only priest. There's no other priest but Jesus. There's no other intercessor but Jesus. And he's the one and only way to heaven. And it doesn't matter how good you live, or how well you try to act, or how good a show you can put on to somebody, it means nothing if your heart isn't right. But also said, as I've said before, you know, when Jesus lives on the inside, it'll start to show on the outside. You know, you can say to me, you've got faith, you've got this, you've got that, but you know, a lot of times your actions prove what you think. Your actions show who you are. Your actions will prove you. You know, like Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. You know, you don't expect an apple tree to grow pears, because it's an apple tree and it'll grow apples. And like I said before, you don't expect a lamb to carry on like a pig. He won't be a pig. He'll always be a lamb. Why is that? Because he was born a lamb and his nature is to be a lamb. And when God takes over your life, there'll be a transformation. You know, today there's an awful lot of wishy-washy, watered-down Christians. Now, I know people may take offense at that, but, you know, so be it. So be it. You know, there's plenty of wishy-washy, watered-down Christians that want ear ticklers. But, you know, they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear it. You know, if you said to some people that God sent a prophet in the 20th century, they'd turn white and fold at the two knees. And you know, it's got to be that it's nearly an awful thing to mention that man, William Branham, because people would take offense at it, and you don't scare them away. But you know, the fact of the matter is that God did send a prophet. And God sent a prophet, what for? Not to exalt the prophet, not to exalt the man. People are depending upon the man, and they're wrong in that their fact. But we're depending upon the one that man pointed us to, that we may more clearly see what's written in this word of God. You know, he come, God sent him for a reason. Why? To let us see that God could still heal. To let us see that God, you know, that open up this word unto us. Open up the word for what reason? So that we could become diluted. On hands hanging down about your knees somewhere. You know, people have made a whole doctrine out of it. But what are they hearing? What are you hearing? Or what are you listening to? Are you listening to a wishy-washy system? Or are you listening to the inspired, infallible word of God? Every time we read this word of God, we're hearing something that is inspired and infallible. Amen. This morning my verse is Romans chapter 10 and verses 17. As a bit of a text this morning. It says, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to have faith, don't listen to something that's going to be negative. If you want to have faith, or if you want to see the delivering power of God, don't try to listen to some man that doesn't even believe that God can heal today. Don't listen to some system that doesn't even agree with you. Why would you listen to something that you would say go so far and then the handbrake will be through on? Well, it's not really for today. God can't really heal today. He only done that back in the apostles' times. All these things only happened in the Bible. You know, like the school teacher told my dad one time, they said, there's no demons today. That was only back in the Bible. But I want you to know that there is demons today. And I want you to know the day that Satan is going about, and then Satan has inspired the world system. And Satan is inspiring some of the church systems also. Satan is the one behind a lot of different things that take place. What else would inspire a man to say that God can't heal today? What would inspire a man to tell you that God cannot deliver you from something? What would be the inspiration behind that? How could you say that that's the Holy Ghost behind that? Could the Holy Ghost deny himself? I don't believe so. I believe that if the Holy Ghost, the true, genuine power of God is upon someone, they will say what the Bible says. And they won't say, but our organization says. They will say, but the Word of God says, full stop. No wishy-washy. No if-ing and button. But the Word of God says it, I believe it, and it's so. But you know today, what is people hearing? We know that faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I maybe mentioned this one more time, but I believe I want to emphasize this fact. You have to have the right kind of hearing. There's people that listen, but they don't hear. You can listen to something, but unless you hear it, it'll never do you any good. You can listen all day, you know. I'm sure everybody knows it. The wife always says to me, you never hear what I'm saying. You're standing there, but you're not really hearing it. Your mind's maybe away somewhere else. You're thinking about something else. But what is it that you're hearing? Are you listening to this world's organization today and they're portraying a message of fear and scaremongering and a message of, oh, doom and gloom. This economy's going to crash. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. King David says, I was young and now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. Claim that this morning. The Word of God says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So when the devil comes upon you and tries to tell you that you have to carry this burden, you know that the enemy will want to give you a label. He'll want to label you with arthritis. He'll want to label you with some disease. He will want to say that you can't do this anymore because he has put a label upon you. Well, the devil will take his label off in the name of Jesus. Hear the Word of God and proclaim that I will not accept it. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want the right kind of hearing, it's important to what you're listening to. If you want the right kind of hearing, there's no point in listening to some dried up weasel, some owl dry hide that's going to say to you, I don't believe God can do it anymore. I don't believe God can heal anymore. I don't believe God can deliver anymore. I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. That message of don't believe is not going to create faith. But faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what did Jesus Christ do? When Jesus Christ came, what did it say? They brought all manner of sickness to him and he healed them all. Amen. You know, when Jesus Christ came down that day, I love it. You know, the man had lay there that long time. Over 38 years, I believe it was, he lay at that well and he come down. And he said to them, He said to Jesus, he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the water." Why is that not an example of this day? "Sir, I have no man to put me in the water." He lay it that well. He waited and he hoped and he prayed that someday when that angel would come down and trouble that water, that some passerby, some great religious man would come by, and when he would see the water trouble, he'd get that lame man, that impotent man, and he'd put him in the water and he would be healed. But his testimony was to Jesus, "Sir, I have no man." Every time the water was troubled, somebody else, maybe with a different ailment, that could walk, got into the water and they were healed. And he missed his opportunity. But you know, the man came one day by. Amen. And then he had a man. And his name was Jesus. And it didn't matter about some, there didn't have to be an event. There didn't have to be something take place. You know, some people feel like they need the electric fencer put on them to supercharge them before God can do anything for them. But God can do something for you regardless of how you feel. It doesn't matter why you feel good, bad, or indifferent. But God can still heal you. God can still deliver you. The enemy may say, "Oh, you didn't feel nothing. You didn't feel nothing. You didn't get excited. You didn't get carried away. You know, God's not moving on you." You know, I love that T.L. Osborne's testimony when he went to Brother Branham's meeting. He went to Brother Branham's meeting, and one of the cases they brought up was a girl that was totally blind. And he says that he was annoyed, making Pentecostal. And he seen him bringing this girl up, and he says, "He's going to need my help." And he says he was getting all revved up. He was getting ready for action. For he says, you know, that if they brought someone to them to pray for them to be delivered of a devil, he says they thought if they shouted enough that the devil would run away from them and the demon would be delivered from them. But he says he was all ready for action. But you know, Brother Branham, they brought that child up and he took the child and he just prayed a simple prayer. And he thought, well, haven't even got going yet. He was ready for action here. Nothing took place. But when he turned the wee girl around, she was healed. You know, it doesn't matter how excited you can get. But you know what? The word that does excite me, I can't deny that. I believe that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will feel something. I feel something. It energizes you. You know, when you pray in tongues, it renews you. It says that a man that prayeth in tongues edifieth himself. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing to pray in tongues. It's a good thing to seek the anointing of God. And when the anointing of God comes upon you, it helps you. But what I'm saying today is, you know, sometimes you may not feel anointed. You may not feel like doing jumps or skips or running around the car park or whatever it is. You may feel like, oh, I don't know. But it doesn't matter how you feel. It's what you believe. What you believe. What are you hearing? You may be listening, but what are you hearing? Are you listening to a message of no hope? Are you listening to a message of deliverance? Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. That's the problem. A lot of people, a lot of us don't have the right kind of hearing. You know, we hear the word of God. We listen to the word of God. Sorry. We maybe listen, but we don't really hear. You can be listening. You can be going through the emotions. Going through the act of listening. You can be trying to be a good boy or a good girl. You can be going through the emotions of being a Christian. But you have to have a born again experience. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He didn't say, "Nicodemus, go out now and try to be a good boy and a good girl and try and live right and try and put on an act and you'll be 100%. He said, "No, you must be born again." He didn't say, "Nicodemus, your daddy was a good boy. Your granny was a good girl. Or this one was a good one or that one was a good one." He said, "No, you must be born again." On the day, you know, we've got people that want, you know, I was just thinking, do you know what it's a bit like? It's like if you went to our brother Jackie there, went to Colin's place and you said to him, "Hey, I think I've a bit of a slow puncture." Or you went to A1 Tires or some car place or a tire man and you said to them, "Boy, I have a slow puncture." And he turned around and he said to you, I tell you what to do. Go you home by and buy yourself a good air compressor and keep her in the garage and blow that wheel up every day. Keep blowing her up every day and you'll be dead on. Get your back, spend the money on buying a good compressor and get yourself a good air line and blow the wheel up every day and that'll keep you going. No! What would he do? He would take the tire off, he'd take the wheel off, he'd find the problem and then he'd fix the problem. And then when the problem was fixed, you wouldn't need to blow her up again. But what we've got today is we have a whole lot of Christians with slow punctures. They're going about going, they have to go back to the airline on a regular basis to get a wee blow up. They have to go and get a wee pump up. But you know, if you ever can narrow down what the problem is, if you can get to the source of the problem. You know, I work on engines and I work on machines. And you know, if you're trying to be a good, I'm not saying I'm a good mechanic, but if you try to be a good mechanic doesn't just always fix the problem. Now you're going to try it. The goal of the whole thing is to fix the problem. But the main goal is find out what caused the problem. Now if you go to a man and he said to you, aye, that there's why, just fire a new part on or give you a big bill and send you out the door. He never looked to see what caused the issue. Yes, there's failures. Parts fail. Things go wrong. That's right. That's like life. Things can fail. Things can go wrong. But you know, a lot of times there is a sequence of events takes place. And if you can retract back the sequence of events, you know, if you go to look at a machine, you don't just jump in and get the tools out, start ripping parts off and hope that you're going to get to the problem. The first thing you want to do is talk to the operator of the machine. And you ask the man, what is the symptoms of the problems the machine is having? Then you figure out in your mind, you say, well, this part makes that part work on this and that. And then you try to decide, well, look, there's where the problem happened. There's where the cause of your issue is. But what's wrong today is people want the airline religion, as it were. They want to pull into the workshop and they want the man to say, I'll send you home with a new compressor and you get a wee pump up once a week. Come and get a wee blow, get the tire blew up, but keep the old slow puncture. Keep the slow puncture going, but get a wee pump up every now and again. No, fix the problem. Fix the problem. What is the problem? Find out what the issue is. When you find out what the issue is, fix the issue. Now the issue could be anything. But you know, a lot of times there's a big issue and it's all among all believers. And it's called, did you see what he done or hear what he done or something else like that? That's the way it usually starts out. But what are you hearing? What are you hearing? Are you hearing that? Or are you hearing the word of God? It depends on what you're hearing. You know, if we go back in this here portion of scriptures, if we go back up, say, to verses 4, we'll read on down here what Paul says. It's a wonderful message. If we read down from verses 4, we'll try and read right back down maybe to near enough verses 17 just for a bit of a more of a background. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doth those things shall live by them. You see, if you want a works program, you could go to some man and he'll write you out a menu. He'll write you out a works regime. Now if you were training to do something, a man could write you out a fitness regime, he could write you out a health plan, and if you followed all those steps every single day of your life, you will probably reach the goal that you're looking for. But Jesus Christ has come, and he's already given us a health plan. He's already given us a menu. He's already given you a dietitian advice. And here it is in the spiritual. And if you follow this plan, you don't need a man made one. You don't need to go to a man to get the compressor plugged in and get the wheel blew up every so often. But you need to get back to the Word of God and you need to hear it. You don't need to just be listening, but you need to actually hear it. You know, you can just skim over it sometimes. But if you read it, hear it, believe it and act upon it, you will see the results of it. For he says that, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the depth, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You see, if you want to try and do a works program, like I say, you maybe feel like you have to get a certain, you need to get so excited. You need to feel like something's happening. You need to feel like you're going to pull Jesus down onto the scene, or you're going to lift him up onto the scene. But that's not what it is. Faith brings him on the scene. When you believe in God, when you have solid, sure faith and belief, he's already there. He never leaves you anyway. He's always there. But the problem is the enemy wants you to think, oh, he has forsaken you now. He has left you now at your most needful time. But he hasn't. Like I preached the message before, Jesus Christ was forsaken on Calvary that me and you never need to be forsaken again. He was forsaken of the Father. He had to turn his face away from the suffering of his Son. He couldn't look upon him. But he done all that for you and for me, that we would never be forsaken. You know, he says here also, verses 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. Paul didn't want to preach you a message to blow the wheel up, as it were. He didn't try to preach you a message, a feel-good job to try and get you through another day. But he wanted to get to the source of the problem. You know what he was saying here to these men? Are you wanting to live by a works program, or you want to live by faith? Which is it? Do you want a works program? Put the wheelie bin out twice a week. Go and do this, go and do that, or do some other thing, and that's you. You've made it. But you know, if you're working by works like that there, it'll fall short somewhere along the line. But also, like I said before, when the right attitude's inside, then the things come out on the outside. Amen. He says, if we go on down to verses 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's no ifs or buts. There's no but you have to but or make a job out of it. No. Just call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. But you know, when you actually really do believe that, and when you actually really do that, then there will be a change in your life. God will transform your life. You know, the word of God says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. There's transforming power in God's word. This clock seems to be flying by. And you know, the time goes awful quick. But you know, I want, if we can, a wee moment this morning, I want to turn here back to Numbers. I want you this morning to be encouraged. If we can turn this morning back to Numbers, and I want you to see here, I'm just talking about, what are you hearing? Or what you may be listening to some, but what are you hearing? You know, we see here Numbers talking about Moses and how he sent the men out to spy out the land. And we want to read a bit of this account. Numbers chapter 13, verses 26. And we'll try and read down maybe to verses 30 or 33 or something like that. Or maybe we'll even go on a wee bit further here. We'll come on down. It says, verses 26, and it says, and when they came to Moses unto Aaron, unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, unto Kadesh, and brought back a word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. So they actually come back with evidence to prove that there was something good waiting on the other side. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amaleks, and the Amaleks dwell in the land, and of the south, and of the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. Well, I love that. That does something for me. Caleb stilled the people. Now he listened to all this talk. He listened to the good stuff. But then they started to go all negative. Well, we can't do it. We'll never make it over the next corner. We'll never make it to the next meeting. We'll never make it to the next Sunday. The wheel will be down again. We'll have a flat wheel again. But no, he was listening to this talk, but he wasn't hearing it. He wasn't for hearing it. Amen. He says, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. Say that to the enemy this morning. I am well able to overcome it, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin, and at the whipping post Jesus Christ bought my healing. I am more than able. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. He stilled the people. Well, it says, But the men that dwelt with him said, We be not able to go against their people, for they are stronger than we are. They're stronger. You know, have you ever heard that message? I've heard it before. I want to say, the stuffed shirt religion will preach it. We're not able. God can't heal anymore. God can't deliver anymore. God doesn't do those things anymore. But we want to be here like Caleb. We need to still the people. Just hold on a minute. God can do it. God has done it. We have seen it. We are witnesses of it. And we will believe it. Amen. Because we are more than able. And they brought up an evil report. Why ever you get an evil report? An evil report's a great job for taking the wind out of your sails. You know, you can be sailing along like a ship on a great sea with a nice wind blowing. You know, and an evil report will put a hole in your sail and deflate the whole thing. But if you let the evil report deflate you and break you, you're defeated. You're defeated before you even start. But if you say, I will not accept the evil report. I will not accept the evil report. He says here that they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched out, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land there which we have gone to search, it is also a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that are therein that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, on which came of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers. So we were in the sight of the people. You see, that's what the devil wants to present to you. A big impossibility. But you know, what are you hearing? What have you been listening to, and what have you heard? Are you listening to the no hope religion? Are you listening to that can't be done? Can't be done. We've been going there for years, and God doesn't do. God hasn't done. God doesn't do. God hasn't done. That's all you want. That's all that some people want to hear. What God can't do. What God hasn't done. What God isn't doing. But what about what God has done? What about what God is doing? You say to me, well, what is God doing? Well, I believe that our own very family is a representation of what God has done. And I believe it was a great act that God carried out in our own family. To believe, you know, to see the transformation in people's lives, that is enough for me to say that God is real and that God can do something in your life. But you know, I want to try and leave this wee coat with you this morning. But the time's gone. I don't want to take too long because I don't want you going away saying that boy took all day and you got nothing from it, only that he took all day. I want you to go away encouraged. This was a wee quote and I believe my dad read it out a few times. I remember going in the mornings and he'd been reading and studying his Bible. And you know, this wee quote wrote out, I believe it was out of the book about the Sky Revival. Could have been Brother Sammy maybe gave him that book, I'm not too sure. But I remember he read this out and I believe it's very fitting for this day. You know, it says in this wee quote, it says, in times of prosperity of the church of the law of the church, the Lord's servants ploughed with four horses, faith, love, discernment and zeal. But as the church declined in faith, as the church declined, faith became lame, love got sick, discernment lost the sight of one eye, and zeal died. So that many work with the two horses of carnal reasoning, human learning. You see, they started out originally, I'll read that again, in times of prosperity of the church, the Lord's servants ploughed with four horses, faith, love, discernment and zeal. But as the church declined, faith became lame, love got sick, discernment lost the sight of one eye, and zeal died. So that many do the work with two horses of carnal reasoning and human learning. You see, today, if a man wants to be a minister, the first thing he'll have to do is go through the Bible College of Learning. He'll have to work with the carnal horses. He'll have to operate with them two boys. He'll have to work with inside a works program. He better not step outside what we believe, or he is hot. He better not look at the Word of God and pray and read the Word of God and you know, God will reveal things on them. He cannot do that because we say it has to be done this way. But the church originally walked out on faith. They believed that God could do it. And today I want to encourage you to believe that God is more than able. God is more than able. I want to leave one more portion of scripture, more things wrote down, but I'm not going to go into anything else because I don't want to take up too much time. I want you to go away encouraged this morning. But I want to leave with you this morning 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for it says we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not depending on what we see. We're not depending on what the news is telling you. Don't depend on these things. Don't depend on what you may be listening to things, but don't always hear them. Don't always take time to hear them. But I want you this morning to hear the Word of God. Take time to hear it. Take time to turn to the Word of God. And I believe that God will encourage you and God will strengthen you and will give you the desires of your heart. Let's close this morning before I hand over to Tommy here this morning. I'll just close with a word of prayer. And I want you this morning, if you have any need or anything it is at all, just say, Lord God, you know my need. Just say, Lord, you know my need. Because he does. But he wants you to tell him. He wants you to say, Lord, you can see my condition. I need you to step in and sort it out. In Jesus' name. Oh Lord, thank you this morning, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you this morning that we have this word to turn to. Lord, we appreciate, Lord, what saints had to go through to give us this word. Lord, we appreciate this morning. We take time, Lord, to say we appreciate it. Lord, we take time this morning to say we love you and we thank you, Lord, for that day at Calvary, Lord. For Lord, where would we be without Calvary? Lord, we'd be lost and undone, Lord, without you this morning. But Lord, we say this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will touch my sister this morning. Touch that sister, Lord. Touch that brother. Touch that boy and touch that girl. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let it not be some dull words of man, but Lord, I pray that when they make the decision And when they set out, Lord, and set their face to look upon you, Lord, I pray that you will answer them speedily. Lord, I pray that the healing will come forth, Lord. Lord, we believe it's already done in Jesus' name. But Lord God, let us see the evidence of it taking place in Jesus' name. Let it become a reality in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you this morning. And Lord, we say we believe that you're more than able, Lord. Lord, today, with all the bit of faith that's in us, Lord, Lord, we direct it towards each and other's needs this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll undertake for every need. Lord, you know the situations. Lord, you know the circumstances. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help, Lord, those that maybe feel like they're struggling, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will fix the problem. Lord, I pray that you'll bring deliverance on the situation. That there'll be a deliverance come forth upon their life. That there'll be a transforming of the power of God come upon them. Lord, I pray that you'll help my sister, Lord. Help my brother, Lord. Help, Lord, each boy and girl, Lord. For those, Lord, seeking to feel something, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help that sister, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll grant them the desire of their heart in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that maybe, Lord, want to speak in tongues or pray in tongues, Lord, or whatever it may be. Lord, if it's going to encourage them, I pray, Lord, that you will grant that unto them in Jesus' name. Lord, that they may feel the anointing power of God on their life in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare that the power of God will come upon those, Lord, that are seeking it in Jesus' name. Lord, that you will help them. Lord, I pray that you'll shut up the mouth of the enemy this morning in Jesus' name. That lying voice that tries to tell them that they're not right or this isn't right or they're not going to make it. But Lord, I pray that the voice of the Lord will speak this morning into their ear and into their innermost being and that there will be a change now in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're a merciful God. We thank you this morning that we can even proclaim the name of Jesus. Lord, we count it a privilege, Lord, to even let our mouth say these words in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray this morning they'll keep your hand upon us now, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each and every one. Lead us to our homes in safety, Lord. For the glory of God we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. I want to thank Samuel for the message this morning. I believe it's a word from the Lord, a word in season. And you know, I was thinking as Samuel was preaching, you know, there's an old saying, you are what you eat. And it's so true, isn't it? And whatever we're feeding on in the spiritual, it'll come out. And it's so true what Samuel's preaching. There's so many people today, and they, if you know, there's an old story was told about a minister, and the minister had been in this congregation for years and he was leaving, and there's a woman came to him as he was leaving and she presented him with a Bible, and he said to her, you know, dear, I have a Bible. And she says, I know, but this is a special Bible. She says, I have kept this Bible specially for you, and every week that you preached on, you said, this scripture's not for the day. I tore it out. And when she presented him the Bible, it wasn't really a Bible. It was only a wee bit of a Bible. Because there's so much that he believed wasn't for the day, and she kept tearing it out, that she didn't have a Bible left. Let me say this morning, study the New Testament. Study it. And when you study the life of Jesus, don't study Peter and John. I'm not telling you to study any other man. Study Jesus. And when you study the life of Jesus, you'll learn this here. 85% of the ministry of Jesus was based on miracles. 85%. The Bible is a miracle book from the start to finish. And I
because I believe in God. God is a God of miracles. God bless you all. Our brother Gary's going to come and going to be live again this evening at 4:30. Tune in. I'm preaching a series at the minute on Christ Jesus, our healer. I haven't preached it before. I'm studying it each week for each service. We've did three parts. I know some people's maybe problems tuning in. But I would encourage you to tune in and hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. There's so much unbelief out there. You know, a brother sent me a little thing recently about Ham. Now, many of you like Ham. If you like Ham, put your hand up. Well, I don't eat Ham no more. And I won't be eating any more Ham. When I watched what this man sent me, I won't be eating any more Ham. And I tell you, the stuff that's put into Ham, it's killing people. It's absolutely killing people. There's a dye in it, there's stuff put into it, it's even linked with cancer. And people are eating things and they don't know what they're eating. And it's killing them. And that's only about Ham. Now you can go and research it if you think I'm talking rubbish. You know, I'm not telling you not to eat Ham. I'll tell you this. A brother Gary said this to me last week and I agree with him 100%. Pray over everything. And whether it's Ham or whether it's a pig or whatever it is, pray over it and eat it. Amen. Well, we definitely need to pray over it. How many believes that? Pray over it. It's important to take a moment and pray over everything. God bless you. Tune in this evening at 4:30. And the Lord bless you, Brother Samuel. I know some people's away on holidays and everything. It's great to get a holiday. I haven't had a holiday in years, but God bless those that's on a holiday. God bless you. Come ahead, Brother Gary. And Brother John will be preaching next Sunday morning. We're continuing on. We're going forward. God bless you.
This morning's introduction, I thought we better close with the green grassy slopes of the Boyne. but we'll leave it for tomorrow. but praise God, I enjoyed the introduction as well as the sermon. Praise God. But we're going to sing 559. Hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way?
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that through the ages and through the years, by your own providence, you've preserved your word, that we may enjoy the freedom and the liberty we enjoy today to preach it, Lord, to read it, and to meditate upon it. And we thank you, Lord, even for, as Samuel said, for the opportunity, Lord, to be gathered here, by the freedom we can come and do it. Lord, we know that all throughout the world, Christians are being oppressed by this world. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those in, Lord, less well-favoured circumstances than us this morning. We pray, Lord, for those that meet in underground churches. We pray you'll strengthen them and bless them, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, and help them to grow, Lord, because indeed you're coming soon. We just ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us to reflect upon, Lord, how easy sometimes we do get it, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll, Lord, even as Samuel read that quote at the last, Lord, that we'll not neglect love and we'll not neglect faith or zeal or discernment, but Lord, we'll, Lord, study, Lord, your word, Lord, waiting for your return and meditating upon your word. Help us to be about the Father's business, Lord, as if it were pulling people from the flames of hell. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask you, Lord, you'll help us to be your ambassadors. And we pray, Lord, you'll bless our brother Samuel, who brought your word this morning. And bless each person that's gathered here. Grant each one travelling mercies as we go from this place. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you then. As you go on again, 4:30 this evening on Facebook or the internet. Brother Tommy will preach again. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to just ask we go, as I'll sing, of course, as you leave.